In the few minutes that we have remaining in our service tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to continue what I started 2 weeks ago. A short series on prison reflections by the Apostle Paul. I want to kind of lay the groundwork very quickly, and then we'll read these verses again. Remember that before Paul went to Rome, on his first trip to Rome, he stopped by the island of Miletus, and he sent word to the Ephesian elders to meet him there on the island. So they traveled over, and they had a very lengthy meeting together. Acts chapter 20 records that meeting, tells us how that he warned them about wolves in sheep's clothing. He warned them that the problems that they were going to face would be greater from the inside than from the outside. And then after they met together, they wept together, they prayed together. And then they escorted Paul over to the ship, and he got on board, and they watched him sail away. He went to Rome. There was incarcerated in his first visit to Rome. He would later be released and then have to go back. But we see in this passage of Scripture an unburdening of a load of concerns for these people. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word to our hearts tonight as we seek to investigate this passage of Scripture and see the unfolding of the burden of the Apostle Paul that he had for the Ephesian people and for us. We pray, dear Lord, that you would speak to us and that you would encourage us and that we might know how we are to live in this world. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last time we began with the beseeching that the Apostle Paul gave to these believers. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now it's the second time that he refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. A prisoner of the Lord. He was incarcerated not because he had done something in violation of Roman law. He was incarcerated because he had been accused by the Jews of trying to disrupt, of raising an insurrection within the land that was causing the Jews to be upset. And so all of this led to him being sent to Rome, where he had appealed to speak to Caesar. And so he had gone there. And yet he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And he didn't complain. He wasn't bitter about what had happened to him. He had made the appeal to go to Rome, and they opened the door for him to go. And so it's an interesting situation that Paul finds himself in. But he's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not scratching his head, now what do I do? He's burdened for the people back at Ephesus. That's to whom he writes. They're the last people that he had come in contact with before he made the ship travel over to Rome. And so he's writing back to them, and he's unburdening his heart. And he says to them, I beseech you, literally, I beg you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. There are several things here that I want to point out to you, and we're just going to get to the first one tonight, and we're going to be doing this as time allows in the month of May. Share with you some thoughts from this passage about what Paul desired for these Ephesian people, these church people back at Ephesus. What was his heart desire for them as an apostle? Number one was that they walk worthy of their calling. Walk worthy of the fact that they were Christians. Being a Christian, being a little Christ, was something that they should walk worthy of. Folks, I don't even know if I can communicate adequately, and I've asked the Holy Spirit of God to work in hearts and communicate here. Being a Christian is a high calling. It is not a whatever calling. To be taken from the kingdom of Satan and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a very high calling. And we're to walk worthy of that calling. Our life is to reflect, I'm a child of God. I don't walk around hiding that fact. I walk around recognizing that fact. So when you come into contact with somebody and you have an opportunity to witness, you let them know, I'm a child of the King. I wasn't born into His kingdom. I was transformed and reborn and put into His kingdom. And this is how it took place. I was not worthy. But He loved me in spite of my sin. And He took me and He declared me to be His son because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Paul says to these Ephesian believers, you're to walk worthy of that calling. Every step you take as a Christian should illustrate who you belong to. Now, you know, I often have said to my children, whenever they were going out or whatever, I said, now remember who you represent. You not only represent the Brainerd family, wherever you're going, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a good thing to remind each other about. You know, when you go out, I was over at Sacred Heart Hospital back a week or so ago, and I was going down the elevator after visiting on the fourth floor. I was coming down the elevator. There was a lady inside, and she began to talk to me, and she said, do you have just a few moments? I need to ask your opinion about my husband's health. Now, I was in a tie, an outfit. She thought I was a doctor. I said, whoa, excuse me, ma'am. I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a nurse, okay? I don't know anything about that. She said, oh, well, you were dressed like a doctor and you have gray hair. I assume that you were a doctor. And I said, I could only dream, right? No, ma'am, I'm not. So I dispelled her misconceptions immediately. I'm sure that my southern accent probably helped a little bit with that. But, because I was dressed up, she said, excuse me, can I ask you a few questions about my husband's health? And I'm like, what in the world have I got myself into, you know? And I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about it. I'm just visiting. I'm a pastor. And so I had a few minutes to talk to her there, but I was not able to help her with her husband's medical issues. But I hope in the few minutes that I had with her to share with her a gospel witness as a pastor. I said, as a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul. I'm kind of a doctor of souls. In the sense, not that I'm a doctor, but that God has called me to communicate the gospel. I pray that I walk worthy of my calling. That is constantly on my heart and mind. Lord, help me to walk worthy of my calling. Help me not to shame You in any way, shape, or form. Help me to honor Your name. Help me to realize that I'm a child of the King, and so I have to act like a courtier. I'm not to act like somebody else. I'm the child of the King. I'm supposed to behave myself for Him. And you know, it's sad to me, but some people think that when you go away from church or whatever, I can live ever how I want to live. I don't understand that. You know, if you leave and go out of state, that I can behave ever how I want to behave. I can talk like I want to talk. I can listen to whatever. I can dress like I want to. I'm away from church now. No, but you're never away from God. You're to walk worthy of the vocation. You're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Maybe there was somebody there on the island of Miletus from the church of Ephesus that stuck in Paul's mind. And he was concerned about him. He said, I wonder what pathway they're going down now. Maybe it was somebody that was just about to leave the church at Ephesus. Or maybe it was somebody that copped a little bit of an attitude. And Paul caught it. He said, you know, I think I need to write them. I think I need to share with them some thoughts that will help them and draw them back to Christ. He was concerned about them. He wanted them to walk worthy of their calling. Every person who is saved by the grace of God has been called to be His child. And you're to walk worthy of that calling. That's the picture. Literally, walking worthy in the Greek language means to balance the scales. Just studying this particular word, worthy, they're balancing the scales. Let me explain this. In other words, we are to walk in such a way that is equal to the position that we possess in Jesus Christ. You ever had scales? My grandmother used to have a set of scales. I don't know what happened to them. But she used to have a set of scales, and we used to play with them as children. And she had these little weights and stuff. You can try to balance it out where it was balanced out in the middle. And I don't know if she used it for weighing different things. I'm not really sure. But it was very interesting to me. And she had these weights. And then when we got into high school, we had all these weights. We had to measure out different things when we were doing projects and so forth, and we were working. And we had to weigh out the different measurements for the different chemicals that we were using for our particular thing. And we had these weights that we put on there. It had to be precise. It had to be precise in order for it to balance out. And that's the picture here. I am to be equal to my calling in Jesus Christ. Now, does it do this with us? Here's Jesus Christ. He outweighs us. We're up here at the top bouncing around. Because we're lightweights. We're lightweights. When we ought to be walking worthy, balancing the scale, we ought to be walking worthy to what we are in Jesus Christ as our calling. Now, do you know what that requires? That requires care. You have to care. You know, we have two animals at home. And, you know, my cat is a food alarm. Every morning, every night, you know, walk in the door, meow, 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 you know, whatever. And she's letting us know it's time to eat. Now, sometimes it's not time to eat. Sometimes I say, nope, it's not time to eat. And I'll tell her that. Boy, she'll sit there and walk in circles. And she'll look up there, and she'll walk in circles, and she's waiting for that time. And finally, when I look up at the clock, all right, it's time to go. And she'll take off like a bullet. All right? Now, she expects me to do it when she says. But sometimes I don't do it when she says. All right? And she has to wait. Because there's certain times we're going to feed. Now, sometimes we don't always keep the clock like it's supposed to be, but I don't feed her at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever like that. She gets fed around 5 o'clock. That's her feeding time at night. And so tonight when I got home, she was at the door. And she hopped down off the chair. She started in. Meow, meow, meow. I said, well, it's pretty close to 5. Let's go. She's right in there waiting. I get my little scoop out, put it in her bowl, and she's happy. And then she comes around all lovey-dovey, you know. All right. Now, she's happy with me that I fulfilled my role as her keeper. All right. Now, we thought it was the other way around when we brought a cat home. All right. This cat is going to be so wonderful. My daughter came up to me last week, Dad, When Muffin dies, are we going to get another cat? And I said, don't let your mother know, but we probably will. All right? Now, I love cats. All right? I don't like the long-haired variety, but I do like the short-haired variety. I like cats. I like to have them around. I like to jump up in my lap. And I like to, you know, I just like the company of a cat. But you know what? It turns out that the cat sits around all day long on its throne. And my cat, well, we'll leave in the morning, be in one chair. It always picks a different chair every day to roost in. So she's taken a liking to one of the chairs yesterday, and she got into it, and when I came home, she's still laying in the same spot. I don't think the cat moved a muscle the whole day long. And as soon as I come in, meow, 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 dinner time. And so the human being has to get in line to go do the bidding of the cat. All right, feed the cat. Then the cat comes up and gives her little token thank you. You know, meow, meow, meow a little bit. Maybe hop up in the lap for a little bit. And then you try to give that cat an order to look out. All right? You're not supposed to be in this bedroom. Get out. Or she'll ignore you. She'll just keep right on walking and doing her own thing. So you go over there. I snap my fingers. Start moving. And then she'll do a real slow walk. You know? What is she saying? I'm still in charge around here. Okay? As she slow walks away, and then I just kind of sweep her out the door, and she'll start moving then. She'll take off, and then she'll go find her chair, and she'll do what she's going to do. Do you know, and we'll close with this, that's how a lot of Christians live. They're like the cat. All right? The adult being God, all right? And God is trying to lead and guide, and it's like herding cats. It just can't be done. Cats are independent. Cats do their own thing. We are not to be Christian cats. Everybody get what I'm saying here? Hopefully, if you haven't gotten cats, go on YouTube and look at some. Or come over to my house someday and spend the day, and you'll learn everything you need to know about cats if you don't know what I'm talking about. Cats are independent. They do their own thing. They'll give you a token, hey, meow, 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 thank you for feeding me, and then off they go to do their own thing again. Aunt Carol knows what I'm talking about, right? She's had many a cat that stayed at her house. And even when she tries to get rid of them, they just keep coming around, don't they? She's got Emily's cat now. And what's the name of that cat now? Is it Smokey? All right, appropriately named. All right. And, you know, Smokey does his own thing, doesn't he? Yeah. Muffin does her own thing. And she's quite happy at doing it. You do that, you will not walk worthy of your calling. We need to walk worthy of our calling. We're not cats. We're God's children. And so there's no room for independence. There is simply room, Lord, what would you have me to do? Father in heaven, I pray that you'd use your word. Lord, the Apostle Paul was deeply concerned for the Ephesians. There were many people there who needed the word of God. They needed to walk worthy of the calling wherewith they had been called. Some perhaps were not, and he was concerned. That's why he wrote this letter so soon after arriving in Rome. And I pray, Father, that we might take to heart this lesson tonight of walking worthy of our calling. We're to walk equal to the calling that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over your family, dear Father. And I pray that you'd help us to be witnesses and testimonies for thee wherever we go. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.